Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another episode of A Sound Heart Radio. This morning's topic is a follow-up to the previous show that had to do with Satan's attack upon the first home in Gan Eden. And for this show, we're going to be considering why Satan attacked the woman. And we're going to find out that his attack was a highly skilled spiritual assault upon the doctrinal content in the woman's heart. Please note that Satan's attack upon Esha was not arbitrary. His words to her were carefully chosen in order to seduce and to deceive her. She entered into a conversation with the Nakash, or the Shining One, in which she unknowingly entrapped herself. She absolutely had no idea what she had done to herself and to her home. And so she had been skillfully led down the path to disobedience to God's explicit word or command. And so in Genesis 3, which has been termed by some classic theologians as the fall of man, I want to pay very close attention to the woman as the as a pivotal part of God's saving activity. Isaiah would later write that a woman would encompass a man. And so, which points to salvation and the fact that at some point in God's history, and that is in God's plan of salvation, that Miriam would be used by God in order to bring into the world Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah. And so Isaiah speaks of the virgin conception and birth of Jesus Christ. Not just the virgin birth, but the virgin conception and birth of Jesus Christ. But I want to bring your attention back to this scene in Genesis chapter 3. This scene was one of fellowship with God until the attack upon Esha. Now, the Word of God tells us something very important that I want to share with you from Exodus chapter 20, in which we have the Ten Commandments. And the Ten Commandments is an organic whole. One cannot say, well, I'm going to keep a particular commandment and then another of the commandments one does not keep. If one fails to keep one commandment, then one has violated the entire law. Please reference the book of James. Now, in the Ten Commandments, the first four commandments are about man's relationship with God. The six other commandments have to do with man's relationship with man. And so, and at the very center of the Ten Commandments, as it were, we read this this command that is given in Exodus 20, verse 12. Honor your father and your mother, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. And so here we have a simple compound subject with a purpose clause. And so the word honor in Hebrew is given in the imperative. So here we have the hierarchy of leadership. We have God, we have father and mother, and then contained within verse 12 is a blessing for those children, those offspring who honor father and mother. The imperative verb honor, kabed in Hebrew, means to take seriously. That is to treat as weighty one's mother and father. And so, please note that in Hebrew, the word father is ab, and the term for mother is em. And in Hebrew pictograms, both mother and father are pictured with an ox head. The ox head, or the head of the bull, is a picture of Elohim, which means the strong one of authority. So in Hebrew pictograms, the father, as Ab, is pictured with an ox head, or the head of a bull, and the floor plan of a tent. And the father is depicted as one who gives strength to the family. Once again, the Hebrew pictograms for the father is that of an ox head and the floor plan of a tent. And so it means the one who gives strength to family. On the other hand, the Hebrew pictograms for mother is that of an ox head, which means strong one of authority, and the pictogram for water, or mayim. And so the mother is the one who binds the family together. And so I want you to see the reciprocity of the father and mother relationship. The father gives structure to the family, and the mother is one who provides meaning, content, wholeness, security, love for the family. Now do you see why the assault in Genesis 3 was upon the woman? Now do you see the importance of why God has placed this command, honor your father and your mother, as he has in the Ten Commandments? Without this structure, society is undermined. With this structure intact, society can go on. This is very beautiful and very powerful. So we have Elohim, the strong one of authority, whose pictograms are that of an ox head or that of a bull, with a stick to also to symbolize authority. So two symbols, and that of the father has two symbols. head of an ox, or the ox symbol, and the floor plan of the tent, and the mother, the ox head or bull's head, with the symbol for water, mayim. Honor, take seriously or treat as weighty one's father and mother. So, with this in mind, I want to emphasize once again why God has so, God has said that we must obey his word. And the Ten Commandments are what we called, or what we call apodictic law, A-P-O-D-I-C-T-I-C, apodictic law. This is law stated in the imperative. The Ten Commandments are law stated in the imperative. It is law from which there is no recourse. It is law from which there is no recourse. God knows exactly what he is doing. The attack upon the woman in Genesis 3 was an attack upon the family. It was a direct attack against the home, against the familial model that God had put in place, against the familial model that God has said was imperative to his plan. So understand what is going on today, what has been going on in human history in order to grow. That is Satan's attempt to overthrow the plan of God by laying siege to the home, God's plan. Now, in ancient warfare, and in fact warfare that was demonstrated against Judah by Nebuchadnezzar, was the siege rams and siege fortifications. The enemy would come up to city walls and lay siege ramps, build siege fortifications, use different tools in order to surround the city, in order to cut off its water supply, in order to cut off its food supply, and hem the people in to possess them round about, so that the economic support would be cut off, so that the food resources would be limited, so that the resources for fire, everything to heat their homes, to cook their food, would be cut off. So they would lay siege to it. Sometimes it would take years. But eventually, the resources within the city walls would become exhausted. And then the army outside of the walls, of course, would go in and finish the people off. Don't you know that Satan does the same thing to homes? He will lay siege fortifications around a home spiritually. Jesus talks about binding the strong man and thus spoiling his goods. Jesus understood perfectly the spiritual realm. He told us important, imperative things about the spiritual world. He told us that the enemy, that is the Satan, was a liar from the beginning. He told us about the kleptes, or he said the thief comes but for to kill, steal, and to steal, kill, and destroy. To steal, kleptes, to steal your spiritual strength, to steal your trust, to steal your peace, to steal what God has done for you in Christ. Or to take away what God has done for us all in Christ. Now, he cannot have tea tie. He cannot touch you so as to exert a modifying influence on your salvation. He can't do that, but if he can, he will lay siege to you, to your spirit. The life of a husband, the life of a father, and with the easy availability of pornography, any member of the home today can be attacked. Husband, mother, children, pastor, we all can be attacked. Now, I know there are some people who say, well, I have a pornographic addiction. And the Bible uses a different term, because understand that the term addiction is not a medical term. The term addiction is not a medical term. The Bible uses the term epithumia, which means all kinds of lusts. And so it is a lust pattern that has been set in place. And it is so very dangerous, because pornography may begin with the eyes, but then the desire, because of the flesh is very dangerous, and prolonged exposure to pornography changes the brain. See, not until very long ago we used to believe that brain cells would die off, and that when brain cells died off, they could never be replaced. Now we, with the research that has come out through neuroplasticity, we are understanding some different things about the human brain. We even know that the human heart itself has about 40,000 neurons. We know that each cell of the body has a neurologic material. And so what goes on in the attitude, what goes on in the heart, what goes on in one's thought processes impacts the entire body. What makes so-called pornographic addiction so powerful is what happens to the brain. The brain changes or is shaped around this type of material. And think what happens to a child who has been exposed to pornography. This child grows up indulging in pornography. This addiction is hidden in this child's heart. This child grows up to become a young person, a young man, and he or she, he gets married, and then one day his wife discovers that her husband is addicted, or her husband has this particular pattern in his heart. Marriages have been shaken to the foundation because of pornography. Relationships have been broken. Children have been broken. Grandfathers have introduced grandsons to pornography. The society has been immersed in pornography. This so-called culture wants to eradicate all lines. This so-called culture wants to destroy familial bonds and relationships by introducing so-called third or even a fourth orientation. Instead of male-female, they want to come up with hybrid definitions for certain human beings. Hybrid definitions that are not found in physics, that are not found in nature. Hybrid definitions of persons in order to distract, curtail, in order to win persons away from the classic male-female, not dichotomy, not dualism, but the classic male-female relationship, that integral relationship as created by God. In the beginning, God called both male and female Adam, or man. And so, note that in Genesis 3, the attack against the woman was an attack against the image of God in her heart, to twist, to degrade, to demean, to make less, to truncate the image of God, to destroy, as it were, the image of God in her heart. Male and female created he them, that is God. So this is what Satan wants to do: lay siege to your family or to your families. You have seen this at work. You have seen this heinous behavior go on. Now, in the book of Leviticus, we have a very interesting chapter, that is chapter 18, and we see what happens when a society leaves God. So here's a picture in Leviticus 18. This is verse 1. The Lord said to Moses, "Speak to the Israelites and say to them, I am the Lord your God. You must not do as they do in Egypt, where you used to live. And you must not do as they do in the land of Canaan, where I am bringing you. You must obey my laws and be careful to follow my decrees. I am the Lord your God. Keep my decrees and laws, for the man who obeys them will live by them. I am the Lord. No one is to approach any close relative to have sexual relations. I am the Lord. Do not dishonor your father by having sexual relations with your mother. She is your mother. Do not have relations with her. Do not have sexual relations with your father's wife. That would dishonor your father. Do not have sexual relations with your sister, either your father's daughter or your mother's daughter, whether she was born in the same home or elsewhere. Do not have sexual relations with your son's daughter or your daughter's daughter. That would dishonor you. Do not have sexual relations with the daughter of your father's wife, born to your father. She is your sister. Do not have sexual relations with your father's sister. She is your father's close relative. Do not have sexual relations with your mother's sister, because she is your mother's close relative. Do not dishonor your father's brother by approaching his wife to have sexual relations. She is your aunt. Do not have sexual relations with your daughter-in-law. She is your son's wife. do not have relations with her. Do not have sexual relations with your brother's wife. That would dishonor your brother. Do not have sexual relations with a woman and her daughter. Do not have sexual relations with either her son's daughter or her daughter's daughter. They are close relatives. That is wickedness. Do not take your wife's sister as a rival wife and have sexual relations with her. While your wife is living, do not approach a woman to have sexual relations during the uncleanness of her monthly period. Do not have sexual relations with your neighbor's wife and defile yourself with her. Do not give any of your children to be sacrificed to Molech, for you must not profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. Do not lie with a man as one lies with a woman. That is detestable. Do not have sexual relations with an animal and defile yourself with it. A woman must not present herself to an animal to have sexual relations with it. That is perversion. Do not defile yourselves in any of these ways, because this is how the nations that I am going to drive out before you became defiled. Even the land was defiled. So I punished it for its sin. And the land vomited out its inhabitants. You must keep my decrees and my laws. The native-born and the aliens living among you must not do any of these detestable things, for all these things were done by the people who lived in the land before you, and the land became defiled. And if you defile the land, it will vomit you out, as it vomited out the nations that were before you. Everyone who does any of these detestable things, such persons must be cut off from their people. Keep my requirements and do not follow any of the detestable customs that were practiced before you came, and do not defile yourselves with them. I am the Lord your God. That's Leviticus 18. So this movement in our culture to start hybrid recognitions of persons is very, very interesting. And you know that it is satanic. And you know it is an attempt to introduce further confusion. It is demonic. It is satanic. And it is a gross attempt to destroy what God has put in place. In the book of Revelation, John speaks about, he talks about certain churches where the devil has seated himself, and his attempt to overthrow the church. So here's a pattern that we must recognize. Whatever good thing that God has put in place, evil wants to corrupt. So hence in the New Testament, in the New Testament structure, in New Testament literature, there are very few passive verbs in those writings. Many of those writings have other verses, as we have come to know them. We say verses. The early church did not recognize verses. Many of these writings, these documents, had their material stated in the imperative. There are very few passive verbs in the New Testament. And that is for a very important reason. That God wants us to get serious and to perform certain actions with regard to our relationship with Him. Good morning. My name is Dr. Josiah Rich. Have a wonderful day.